Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
All right. Well, Yoni thinks that you guys are going to be singing this by the end of the summer. I think she might be right. Welcome, everybody. As Jessica said, this is one of the summer Sundays where we have everybody in the service, all kids and all adults together. So we just want to make sure that it stays a little lively for them. But I think we all get to benefit from that song. Amen. Today we continue our series, Bear Fruit. We started this is week three, so 2 weeks ago we started, 3 weeks ago I guess, we started this series. We continue this week. Last week we talked about love, as love being the root of all the other fruit. And today we're talking about two. So today we tag two in, and that is joy and peace. So joy and peace is what we're talking about today, and Jessica did the scripture reading for us. And the title for this sermon this morning is what I call What Lives Beneath the Surface. So what lives beneath the surface? So I think you guys gotten accustomed to this, so let's start with a question. Now, just think about this. If somebody wants to look at you, if somebody wants to just look at you and ask you, now let me qualify that. Somebody wants to look at you and just ask, based on what they can see, right? They're only looking at the outside of you, what they can see, not all the stuff that's going on. But if they were to ask you, how are you doing? Which I think is a common question we all encounter everywhere we go, right? What would they say? What would they be able to say? Would they be able to think that everything's going great? Would they think that you're full of joy? Would they think that you are at peace? Now, I bring this up because I feel like we all become pretty good at looking okay on the outside. We smile, we laugh, we come to church, we ask each other how we're doing, and we answer, it's good, I'm good. We know how to appear like everything is fine, but appearances can be deceiving. Now, a few weeks ago, and Jessica laughed at me, but a few weeks ago I picked up an orange, and I was cutting an orange, and it was kind of odd because in our household, Jessica is normally the one that cuts the oranges because she has a particular way, and I liked it that way too. So she's normally the one cutting oranges, but this time I was cutting the orange. And from the outside, it looked perfect. Well, what I think is perfect, right? And when we go to the store, we pick the oranges. They're trying to teach my kids how to pick oranges. And, it looks orange, and you pick it up, and it feels heavy compared to the others. And we do this whole thing, right? So I went to the store, and I picked it, so I thought it was a perfect orange. It was bright, no bruises, no soft spots, heavy. I think it was perfect. But when I cut it open, the outside looked beautiful, but the inside was a little brown and a little hard and dry, which is not good. I was disappointed. The orange looked healthy, but it wasn't healthy at all. And then I thought about that this week, but I couldn't help but think that sometimes people, we are a lot like oranges. Sometimes the smile is real, and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes we're laughing because life is wonderful. Sometimes we're laughing because we become experts at hiding what's really happening underneath. And here's what I've noticed. Our world spends an incredible amount of time and effort, energy, trying to fix the outside. You have to look better, you have to dress better, you want to own more, you want to travel more, you want to smile more, you want to post more on social media. But very little attention is given to what's happening beneath the surface. That's exactly where the fruit of the Spirit grows. The fruit isn't attached to the paint on the outside of the tree. You guys remember, I still have my tree here, and I think I still have the apple there. You guys remember that? We don't just put fruit on a tree. The fruit grows on its own. It grows because something underneath the surface is healthy. What lives beneath the surface? Joy and peace aren't things we manufacture. They're evidence of something deeper. They are the fruit. The fruit always tells you something about the tree. If you see healthy oranges, you assume that there's a healthy tree. If you see rotten fruit, you know something deeper needs attention. And Jesus said exactly that. A good tree bears good fruit. He wasn't talking about oranges. He was talking about us. Fruit always reveals a condition of the roots. Now, today we're talking about the fruit that everybody wants. Would you guys agree with that? Do you think that everybody wants joy? Yeah. Do you think everybody wants peace? Everybody wants this fruit. You don't have to convince somebody that they need more joy. You don't have to convince somebody that they would like peace. They just want it. Nobody ever wakes up one day saying, oh, I hope I feel anxious today. Nobody thinks that, right? Nobody thinks, I hope I lose my peace today. Every human being longs for both of these things. The problem is that most people are looking for them in the wrong places. Our culture tells us happiness comes from better circumstances. God tells us joy comes from a different source altogether. Our culture says peace comes from when life gets easier. Jesus says that peace exists even when life is difficult. Those are two completely different views of living. One depends on circumstances, the other depends on Christ. And that really changes everything. One of the interesting things about Scripture is that it uses different words that we often do today. In English, we use the word happy for almost everything. We're even happy if we have it on a meal, right? A happy meal. But the Bible rarely talks about happiness. I don't know if you knew that. There's different words that the Bible uses. Instead of talking about happiness, the Bible talks a lot about joy. The Greek word used throughout the New Testament is chara. And I think it's weird. We're having the discussion, Jessica and I, because it's spelled C-H-A-R-A. But it's not, with my Spanish roots, I would say chara, but it's not. It's chara. It doesn't describe temporary emotional high. It describes a deep, deep gladness rooted in God's grace. Now, did you know that the word chara, which is joy, and chariz, which is grace, comes from the same root? Har. It's the same Greek word. And har means something that is engraved, something that is put into. And that is the root word for chara, which is joy, and chariz, which is grace. And that is not an accident. Biblical joy grows out of grace. In other words, the more you're amazed you become by God's grace, the deeper your joy becomes. That's why a Christian can walk through the exact same hardship and experience it differently than somebody without Christ. The hardship is real. The pain is real. But grace gives joy roots. Then there's peace. The New Testament uses the word erene. Erene. But every Jewish person hearing Jesus or Paul talk about peace would immediately think of a different word. Any guesses? Shalom. Shalom is one of the richest words in the entire Bible. It doesn't simply mean the absence of conflict. It means wholeness, completeness, flourishing. Everything being restored to the way God intended. Imagine putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle. Anybody like puzzles? Yeah, there's some people that like puzzles. You finally put the last piece of the puzzle in. Everything fits. Everything is complete. That is a bit of a picture behind shalom. It's life as God designed it to be. That means peace isn't simply having a quiet house. Although if you have little kids like we do, that sounds pretty amazing, but it's definitely not realistic in our season in life. But it's not what peace means. Peace is also not having bills to worry about. Peace isn't getting the good reports. Peace isn't everybody agreeing with what you have to say or what you think. Biblical peace is something much deeper than that. It's knowing that even if everything around you feels uncertain, you belong to Christ. That certainty steadies the soul. The fruit of the Spirit lists joy and peace right after love. And I don't think that's random. Love is a root, like we talked about last week. Joy is the first visible sign, and then peace quickly follows. Where God's love is growing deeply in someone's life, joy and peace aren't usually far behind. It's almost like watching a tree in the spring. You don't get the fruit before the branches are alive. You don't get the oranges or the apples that we talked about last week before the blossoms appear. Everything grows in order. That's how spiritual growth works too. You can't fake fruit for very long. Eventually, what's underneath becomes visible. And that's why we didn't call this series, "Let's Try Harder." That's what we call it, bear fruit. Fruit grows naturally when the tree stays connected to its source. Jesus didn't say, glue your fruit onto your branches. He didn't hang fruit up. He said, remain in me, and he will remain in you. That changes how we think about spiritual growth. We're not trying to impress God. We are learning to stay close to him. Now, before we look at Paul's words about joy and peace, I want us to travel back into the Old Testament to one of the most surprising verses in the entire Bible. Most of us know it. I think you must have read it at least a couple times. Some people have it hanging up on their walls. Some people have quoted to their friends. And we sang songs about it. But I think very few people know the moment when it was first spoken. And that's Nehemiah 8:10. And it says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, if I asked you to guess the setting of that verse, what would you think that would be? Just think about it for a second. The verse is, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Many of us might picture a great celebration. People dancing, people singing, maybe a victory. But that's not what's happening at all. In fact, the people were crying. Why? Because Ezra had just read God's word publicly. I don't know if you remember, but back in that day, not everybody had the scriptures. So it was read out loud for everybody to hear. And that's what had happened here. Ezra had read the scripture out loud. And as the people listened, they realized how far they had drifted from God. They were not celebrating. They were broken. They were convicted. Many people were weeping openly. And it's into that moment, not after everything was fixed first, in that moment, Nehemiah stands up and he says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I want you to think about that moment. Joy wasn't the reward at the end of the restoration. Joy became the strength that carried them through restoration. Sometimes we think, once I get through this season, then I'll have joy. Once the diagnosis changes, once the relationship heals, once the finances improve, once life settles down, then I'll rejoice. But Nehemiah shows us something different. The joy of the Lord doesn't wait at the finish line. It walks with us through the journey. And that's exactly where the Holy Spirit wants to begin changing what lives beneath the surface. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That is a beautiful truth. Amen? But if you know that the truth, if you know that that's the truth, many of us begin to think or ask, how do I actually experience that kind of joy? And that's where Paul helps us. He writes these incredible words in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, those words can almost sound impossible, maybe even frustrating. You know, maybe we think, Paul, you don't know what I'm going through. My health isn't good. My marriage is struggling. I'm worried about my children. I lost someone that I love. I'm exhausted. How can I say, oh, how could I rejoice always? Paul wasn't writing those words while life was easy. I think most of you know the story of Paul. He wasn't writing those words when life was going good. He was writing those words from prison. Most scholars believe he was under house arrest in Rome. He was chained to Roman guards, uncertain whether he would be released or executed. So one of the greatest letters about joy was written in a prison cell. Isn't that something? That should make us all stop and think and ask, where did Paul find that kind of joy? Because if joy depends on comfort, Paul shouldn't have had any. If joy depends on circumstances, Paul had every reason to lose it. Instead, Paul had discovered something many people spend their entire lives trying to learn. Joy is not the result of perfect circumstances. Joy is a result of a present Christ. Joy is a result of a present Savior. Now that is something worth remembering. In fact, I think in the sheets, you're following on a sheet, you can write it down or take it down in your notes. Joy is not the result of perfect circumstances. Joy is the result of a present Savior. That's why Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't say rejoice in your situation. He doesn't say rejoice because life is easy. He says rejoice in the Lord. Your source determines your stability. If your joy comes from your job can be taken away. If your joy comes from your health can be taken away. If your joy comes from money, money can disappear. If your joy comes from people's approval, people will eventually disappoint you. But if your joy comes from Jesus, you found that source that never changes. He has promised to always be there with you. Hebrews tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's why Christian joy can survive storms. Not because storms aren't real, but because Christ is more permanent than the storm. Now, there's another interesting fact about the Bible here. The command to rejoice isn't given because Christians always feel joyful. It's given because joy is something we choose to cultivate as we remember who God is. Think about the Psalms. Everybody knows the Psalms? We know that David wrote the Psalms, right? David often begins by pouring out his pain. Some of the things he says, "My tears have been my food." Or he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? How long, O Lord?" Now he's being brutally honest. But then something happens. He starts to remember. He remembers God's faithfulness. He remembers God's promises. He remembers God's character. His circumstances have not changed, but his perspective begins to change. That's why biblical joy isn't pretending, it's remembering. Maybe that's why we gather every Sunday. Not because we've forgotten the facts of the gospel, but because we need to remember them again. We remember that Christ died for us. We remember that he rose again. We remember that we're forgiven. We remember that we're not alone. We remember that he is still king. And every second and fourth Sunday of the month, we partake in communion. And every time we do communion, I encourage you to remember. We've come to remember. Joy grows where remembrance lives. Then Paul continues, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say ignore your worries. He doesn't say stuff your emotions. He says bring everything to God. Prayer isn't pretending everything's okay. Praying is refusing to carry what God has invited us to give to him. I think of it like hiking. Does anybody go hiking? Anybody enjoy hiking? Some people? Yeah? When you go hiking, this gets tricky. I got to be careful how I say things. But living up in the north, there's a lot of places you can go hiking, and many of us enjoy going. And one of the things that we do is we carry a backpack, right? Now, I've stopped carrying a backpack because I know I end up with more backpacks as we progress. But that's a different story, right? But we all normally have a backpack. And at first, it doesn't seem heavy. You're like, oh yeah, I can handle this. But after 20 minutes, after 45 minutes, that backpack begins to get heavier, right? That extra pounds on the bag start to matter. They start to make a difference. Eventually, your shoulders start to ache. Your back gets tired. You begin wondering, do I really need all this? I think many of us walk through life carrying emotional backpacks we were never meant to carry. Some of those backpacks have fear in them. Some of them have shame. Some of them have regret. Maybe tomorrow's worries. Maybe yesterday's failures. Or maybe other people's expectations. And after a while, we are exhausted. Jesus comes alongside us and says, "Give it to me." Not because he doesn't want us to care, but because he cares for us. Peter says exactly that. "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." That reminds us that prayer isn't a religious duty. It's a relationship. Then Paul gives us one of the most beautiful promises in all of Scripture. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The word guard. Paul isn't using military language. Everywhere he looked, where Roman soldiers standing, watch. They guarded the gates, they guarded prisoners, they guarded important places. Paul says, that's what God's peace does. It's time's guard over your heart. Think about that picture. Fear knocks on the door, peace answers. Hopelessness wants to move in, but peace says, you don't belong here. The future starts shouting. Peace reminds you, God is already there. The circumstances might not change immediately, but your heart is no longer unprotected. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't simply comfort us, he also steadies us. That's why Jesus could sleep in a boat during a storm. You guys remember we talked about that? There's this massive storm and Jesus is sleeping. The disciples are panicking. They're experienced fishermen, worried. They thought they were going to die. Meanwhile, Jesus is sleeping. I think it's almost funny to think about that. All these people are going crazy because they don't know what's happening. They're trying to figure things out. And Jesus is there sleeping. Can you imagine Peter? Wake him up. What's he doing? Doesn't he know that we're sinking? The storm wasn't bigger than the one in the boat. And here's the connection to us. Sometimes Jesus calms the storm. Sometimes Jesus calms his people in the middle of the storm. Both are miracles. Sometimes we pray for changed circumstances. Sometimes God begins by changing us. That isn't second best. Sometimes that's the greater miracle. Because if God only changes the circumstances, then we'll need another miracle tomorrow. But if he transforms our hearts, we can walk through tomorrow with him. And isn't that what the fruit of the Spirit is? The Holy Spirit producing something inside of us that circumstances alone could never produce. Joy and peace aren't decorations we hang on our lives. They aren't fruit that we just hang on a tree. They're evidence that the Spirit has been doing quiet work beneath the surface. And maybe that's encouraging for someone today, because roots grow where nobody applauds. Nobody takes pictures of roots. Nobody compliments roots. They're hidden. But when the storm comes, everybody sees whether the roots are there or not. Maybe that's what God has been doing in your life all along. Not forgetting you, not abandoning you, growing something underneath the surface that will sustain you for years to come. Now, before we finish, there's one more passage we need to hear. Paul writes this remarkable words in Romans chapter 5. And it goes like this. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now, before we go any further with that, let's make sure we understand what Paul is saying and what he isn't saying. Paul is not telling us to enjoy difficult seasons. He isn't saying that pain is good. He isn't asking us to pretend that hard things don't hurt. The Bible never asks us to celebrate pain for pain's sake. What Paul is saying is something much deeper. He is saying that God never wastes what he allows. Even in the hardest seasons of life, God is still at work. He is shaping us, refining us, teaching us to deepen our relationship with him. He's teaching us to depend on him in ways that we would never have if our life had always been easy. Think about Paul's progression. He says, difficult seasons produce perseverance. Perseverance shapes character. Character produces hope. Notice that each step builds on the one before it. Perseverance is learning to keep trusting God when you don't have all the answers. Character is what God forms in us as we continue walking with him. And hope. Biblical hope isn't crossing your fingers and wishing everything works out. Biblical hope is confident expectation. It's a settled confidence that because God has been faithful before, he will be faithful again. It's trusting that his promises are true even before we can see the outcome. That's a completely different kind of hope that the world offers. The world says, I hope things get better. But we are encouraged to say, I know God is faithful, whatever tomorrow comes. The difficult seasons of life don't suddenly create joy and peace. They reveal whether our roots have been growing all along. That's why joy and peace aren't proof of the easy days. You can have easy days and you can have joy in those days, but that is not proof of what is underneath or what the roots are. Almost anybody can smile when life is going well. Almost anyone can feel peaceful when everything is under control. But when life becomes uncertain, that's when the roots begin to show. That's when the fruit of the Spirit becomes visible. Which reminds us of something we've been saying throughout this entire series. The fruit of the Spirit isn't about pretending, it's about becoming. Becoming more like Jesus. And ultimately, that's where today's message has been pointing all along. Jesus is the only person who ever lived with perfect joy and perfect peace. Think about his life. He experienced rejection. He experienced grief. He experienced misunderstanding. He experienced exhaustion. He experienced betrayal. Yet through every season, he remained completely faithful to his Father. His joy wasn't rooted on his circumstances. His peace wasn't dependent on people's opinion. His life remained rooted in the Father's love. And here's the incredible news for us all. The same Holy Spirit who strengthened Jesus now lives in every one of us. The Spirit who produced joy in Christ is the same Spirit who is producing joy in us. The Spirit who gave Jesus peace is the same Spirit who continues to transform us, continues to do his transforming work in us today. And that brings me to one final picture, back to the initial question. If somebody could look beneath the surface of your life today, what would they find? Would they find roots that were slowly growing deeper into Christ? Or have you been trying to grow fruit without staying connected to the vine? Because that's really the invitation of this entire series. Not to become better actors, not to look more spiritual, but to stay so close to Jesus that over time, his life naturally begins to appear in us. As we come to the end this morning, I want to leave you with one final picture. Imagine two orange trees growing side by side. They've both been planted for years. From a distance, they look almost identical. They have green leaves, they have healthy branches, and beautiful fruit. If you walk past them on a sunny afternoon, you probably couldn't even tell the difference between the two trees. Then the storm comes. The wind begins to blow. The rain falls. The ground becomes soaked. Hour after hour, the trees are pushed and pulled by the storm and the wind. When the sky finally clears, one tree is still standing. The other has fallen over. What made the difference? It wasn't that one of them had an easier storm than the other. It wasn't that one tree was loved more by the gardener. It wasn't that one tree tried harder than the other. The difference was something nobody could see. The roots. The hidden life always determines the visible life. The hidden life always determines the visible life. That's really what this whole series is about. God isn't simply trying to make us look like better Christians on the outside. He wants to transform us from the inside out. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't grow because we try harder. It grows because we stay connected to Jesus. Jesus said in John 15, "Remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You notice he doesn't say, "Work harder, try harder." He says, "Remain in me." That's a completely different invitation. The Christian life isn't about exhausting ourselves trying to manufacture fruit. The closer we remain in him, the deeper our roots grow. And the deeper our roots grow, the more joy and peace begin to appear. Not because life is always easy, but because our lives are anchored in someone who never changes. Maybe that's why the fruit of the Spirit is called fruit. Fruit takes time. We can't, like I talked about last week, we can't plant a tree on Monday and expect the fruit on Friday. Right? Growth is slow. Growth takes time. Sometimes growth is almost invisible. Yet every day, beneath the surface, something is happening. Roots are reaching deeper. The tree is becoming stronger. Life is forming when no one else could see it. And I wonder if that's where some of you are today. You may not feel like you have grown much. You may look at your life and think, "I still have so far to go." But if you're walking with Jesus, if you've been learning to trust him, if you've been bringing your worries to him, if you've been opening the word, if you've been allowing his Spirit to shape your heart, don't underestimate what God is doing beneath the surface. Some of the greatest work God ever does in our lives is hidden before it is visible. One day you'll look back and realize that the very season you thought was unproductive was the season when your roots grew the deepest. And that's the invitation for today's message. Don't chase happiness. Pursue Jesus. Don't spend your life trying to manufacture peace. Stay close to the Prince of Peace. Don't spend your energy trying to tape fruit or hang fruit on your branches. Let the Holy Spirit produce fruit naturally as you remain connected to Christ. Because the fruit you enjoy tomorrow depends on what you're feeding today. What you feed is what grows. The Holy Spirit wants to grow something in us that the world desperately needs to see. Not perfect people, not people who never struggle, but people whose lives quietly point others to Jesus because joy and peace have taken root beneath the surface. As we close this morning, I want to invite you to do something that can be a little bit difficult. And I want to invite you to be honest. Not be honest with me, not with the person sitting beside you or around you, but with God. We spent this morning talking about what lives beneath the surface. The truth is, every one of us has something beneath the surface. For some of us, it's worry. It could be disappointment. For others, it's trying to control everything because we're afraid of what might happen if we let go. Maybe you've been running so fast that you haven't slowed down enough to let your roots grow. The wonderful news of the gospel is that Jesus isn't asking you to pretend. He's inviting you to remain, to stay close to him, to trust him, to let his spirit continue to work that he has already begun in you. Maybe this morning you realize that you've been chasing happiness instead of pursuing Jesus. Maybe you discovered that you've been looking for peace in circumstances instead of in Christ. Or maybe you're simply tired. You love Jesus, but you've been carrying burden that he never asked you to carry by yourself. Can I remind you of something? The invitation of Jesus has never been to try harder. It's always been, come to me. That's still his invitation today. So here's what I'd like us to do. We aren't very good at silence. Would you agree with that? We fill every moment with noise. But throughout Scripture, God often speaks when his people become still. No one has to rush. No one has to say anything. Just take a moment. And I know there's kids around, and that's fine, right? But we can still spend a few seconds in silence in our own space. Take a moment to ask the Holy Spirit one simple question. Lord, what's happening beneath the surface of my life? Lord, what's happening beneath the surface of my life? And then just pause and listen. You may sense him reminding you of his faithfulness. You may sense him bringing something to your attention that needs to be surrendered. You may simply experience his peace in a fresh way. Whatever he wants to do, let's give him some room. Now, if you're here this morning, and maybe you're thinking, or maybe you're saying, I want deeper roots. I want the Holy Spirit to continue growing joy and peace in my life. I want to stop living from the outside in and begin living from the inside out. Then I simply invite you to open your hands where you are. Right? Just open your hands. And we open our hands because it's an openness to receive. We're saying, Lord, I am here, I'm available. Open your hands and say it with me. Lord, I'm available. Keep growing what only you can grow. Keep growing what only you can grow. Amen. And if there's somebody here this morning that would appreciate somebody standing with them in prayer, we'll be honored to pray with you because none of us were meant to follow Jesus alone. Now, as the worship team comes up, don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about who's around. If you want prayer, if you would like somebody to pray with you, let me know. This is your moment with the Lord. Maybe you don't want other people to pray with you, but you want to pray now in your own seat. As we worship, don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Let the kids play. Let the noise be there. Don't worry what people around you are doing. Pray and let him remind you that the deepest work he does is something that work that no one ever sees. Because that's where the fruit begins, beneath the surface. meet with your Father. Prayer is not out of duty. Prayer is not reciting something that you might know. Prayer is a relationship with your Father. Pray to your Father and build your relationship with Him. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.